Okay, everybody, welcome to today's call. My name is Jason Lightstrom, and today I am fortunate to have a friend, client, and a real straight shooter when it comes to business and life on the line, Ricky Breslin. Ricky, let's see, I think I've known Ricky for going on 5 years, maybe?
Maybe the
internet world is like 300.
Yeah.
So we've kind of been through a lot together and often work through things together, so I'm happy to have him on the phone, particularly because, you know, Ricky wears a lot of hats. He's had clients. He runs his own businesses, and so really brings a unique perspective and kind of an eye-opening perspective if you are kind of stuck in the service business world and wonder just what greater possibilities and opportunities might be out there. So, Ricky, thanks for being on the line, and welcome to today's call.
Cool, man. It's definitely a pleasure being here. Let's get into it and get into the meat so we can do this.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about, I always like to get people's kind of perspectives about what working with clients means. You know, some people working with clients means get maximum money in minimum time. Then some people go on the other end of things and you're like, you got to serve your clients. Why don't you just take a couple minutes and give me working with clients according to Ricky Breslin. And take it wherever you feel is important.
Oh, okay, cool. As corny as it sounds, I think you can do everything you just said. I think you can maximize money while not investing a ton of time. That's if you have experience and you're good at what you do. And number two, you have to always be a servant. That's period, point blank, every day of the week. Serve the client. Now, as you know, some clients will take advantage of that if you overdo it. So pre-positioning yourself before the contract or the agreement or the relationship ever starts is critical so they understand how to work with you. But I think you can do both. So I come at it from that perspective. But I also thank God every day that I don't have to, well, not necessarily. I mean, I'm glad that I don't have to rely on client income, but if I did, obviously, you're the person who I'd come to. But I'm glad that we're on this call because I have the perspective of kind of casually, and I've done big deals, obviously, but work with clients where it didn't really matter because I had my backup businesses. So, but if I was in a position, I know like some of the people you work with, I would probably tweak a few things, but I wouldn't do much different. So I think that's why we'll get a pretty cool perspective on this call is that.
Take a minute and fill people in on kind of, where you're coming from, what you've got going.
Well, I work mainly with my wife, Marquetta Breslin, and we run Braids by Breslin, where we sell tons of DVDs and books. And then we have a website called LaceWigTrainingCenter.com where we have weekend seminars. We sell a big kit and tools and stuff for people to create lace wigs for cancer patients, bald people with alopecia, etc. We have a website where we sell Indian Remy hair, and we import that from India, and we sell within the United States. And those are our three biggest websites. And then we have a local salon here, an actual physical brick-and-mortar salon, where we actually serve clients in a real-time environment, not just digitally. And I do my consulting stuff for fun because I actually really enjoy it. And I've been doing this going on a decade. So, you know, I feel that I bring a lot of good stuff to the table and I love doing it.
Yeah. So talk about knowing what you know and the experience you've had. Talk about your take on the client getting process. A lot of people on this call they span a wide range of industries from, I don't know, things like maybe massage therapy to law to medicine, just about any service business that you can think of. So, you know, the thing that jumps out at me when I look at the work you've done with clients is like you've got the positioning thing down cold. And so I want you to talk about attracting clients, positioning, how that works in your mind, and maybe some key things just to remember if you're struggling getting clients to call you.
Sounds good. Okay, so what I love about these calls that you do is it's always about the other person on the line giving the advice, and it's unique to them. I want to say that this may not work for people, but it works for me, and I think that if you can pull one or two things out of what I'm about to tell you, it could be pretty cool. So here's how we do it. I spend most of my day actually thinking about that and trying to improve that. By that, I mean the positioning process. So I'm always constantly looking for ways to, whether it be on video, an email I write, when I talk to somebody on the phone, whether we send a direct mail piece, whether we do a follow-up via an autoresponder, it doesn't matter what I do. I am constantly, 100% of the time, I don't know the day that has went by where I haven't thought about better ways to position myself to attract better people with more money. I just think it's absolutely critical. Hair shows, it doesn't matter. Anywhere we go, my mind is framed in the sense of how can we look better in front of the client? How can we deliver better? How can we separate ourselves? How can we be a person that they do business with that's unlike anybody else they do business with? These are things that I think you need to think about every single day, and you're not going to be able to improve on them every day because you're, you know, you have to leave time for thinking. But you should be writing things down. You should have a document in Dropbox that says, you know, things to do or ideas, and always be shoving stuff in there and then going to it weekly. That's what I do. I go to it, and then I'll pull stuff from my next week's to-do list, and I'll implement it. That's what a lot of people miss out on. They think a lot. They don't do a lot. So to shorten this up, what I would do if I was looking for a client is, and I've done this before, I would create conditions where I'm so sticky, I'm just like honey, where they have to, they need it. It's sweet, it looks good, it tastes good. I'm constantly doing that every day. So when people say, well, Ricky, how did you get this client, or how do you work with these people, or how do you do that? The way I do it is I have such, I work on my design on the website, I work on my positioning, the way people see me, and the way I really am, in a way that makes people want to work with me. It's so hard because you can't say it's 2 + 2 = 4. It's attraction. So, and it's a lot harder than you think. Most people are too lazy. They do a few things and like, I'm doing everything right. Well, not really. It may take a lot longer than you think. The way I've closed most clients, and I've never had to quote-unquote close them, they see my body of work and they want what I have. That sounds cocky. I'm not saying that I have all this or that, or I'm better or worse than anybody. I'm just saying the body of work that I've created online, as far as the websites, the design, the products created, the wide, you know, the vast amount of stuff I have going on, once people get into that web and do a little research, they're working with me is not really even a question because I'm a doer. And they realize that, and they realize that clients aren't my full-time gig, and they feel honored to work with me. I'm just shooting straight here, Jason. I'm not trying to sugarcoat anything. And I'm not coming across as, like, you know, crazy or just so hard-lined. It's just a fact that What I would recommend to anybody on this call is create conditions and websites and an environment and a personality, which is you, but something that's sticky. Think about that. Build on that. Write that down. Know who you are. Know what you're going through. Every bit of money I've ever made in consulting, I have never once pitched consulting ever in my life. Every single time I've been asked about consulting, do you consult? Can you help me? And the bottom line is if a conversation ever goes that way, ever, you win. You never want it to be the other way and say, I'm a consultant. If that's the first words out of your mouth, 90% of the time, you generally lose. We want to make sure we create conditions where the end user says, do you help people do this? Is this something, can you help me? Once that moment happens, as long as you know how to sell and you know what you're doing, and obviously that's what you're such a master at, Jason, it's game over. But in my opinion, it's about the conditions.
Yeah, I can totally back that up. And the fact that sometimes it can take forever. I mean, I'm thinking of one client I've had, the getting to know you before money changed hands process was 3 years long. That's 3 years of me doing things like writing stuff, interviews, articles, making videos, blah, blah, blah. Not that like I had made this concerted effort to close this particular client, but it just took that long to create the conditions where that question came to me, we want to work with you now. And you're right,
Not only that, but that could be friendships from people who maybe you want to be involved with or mastermind with or whatever. Sometimes you've got to buy into those. They're not always just free, I met you at Walgreens and we're best buddies. Sometimes it's going to cost a grand or two or three a month, or maybe you've got to spend, I know I've got a story with you where I paid $3,500 for a phone call for an hour. Remember, you probably remember that from a few years ago.
But yeah, the phone call wasn't with me, by the way, guys, just so you know.
Yeah, it wasn't with you, but I was telling you about that.
Yeah.
But you make such a good point. I think the number one reason people fail is they're just too lazy. And number two, they're impatient. I'm with you. I've waited a year sometimes. And now when I say attract, meaning I'm serious. It is like a law in my book. I am not going to tell you I'm a consultant. This is what I do. I just can't go there. You have to search me out and come to the conclusion that I'm best for you. And I am with you, dude. Sometimes that has taken like a year. Now, I'm not going to pitch you. I'm really not. But sometimes in my mind, just like I'm sure people on this call, you have people in mind you would like to work with because you know you can make them a lot more money.
Yeah.
So to do that, sometimes I've waited around, you know, just like you said, 3 years, 2 years. I mean, if I look back, there's sometimes, it has been a few years. Maybe I wasn't even thinking about working with them, but it did go to that. But it never neglect the body of work. See, while you're sitting in the trenches and you feel like it's hard work and you're doing your mailings or you're positioning yourself and you're doing all this, it's really all about patience. And most importantly, when you're in the trenches, increase your body of work. People don't do it enough. Get up with a to-do list. Film 5 YouTube videos. Build your website. Increase your credibility. Close that consulting deal over here. Okay, you got a consulting deal. Great. Don't gloat about it. You still have things to do. Come back home. Come back to the basics. Do more videos. Do more SEO. Do whatever you've got to do. Hopefully you have a team for all this stuff because one person will go psycho doing it. But in my opinion, it's about building that fortress, that foundation, and just being so sticky that you're the only person that they should be doing business with. And you do a great job at this, Jason. I mean, that's why we're such good friends, man. I mean, I love how you do what you do because you, out of everybody that I know, that's why we became so close so quick, you don't stop every day. You create conditions for people to come to you. I mean, I think if people got that and really understood it and would stop sitting around all day and Twittering and Facebooking and you know, checking in when they go out to eat, all this bullcrap, and had a game plan for conditions, they would attract so many more clients. And I am not talking about the law of attraction here. I am talking about, like, getting it done, straight work. It would probably be crazy what happens in 6 months.
That leads into another question. Like, a lot of times you'll hear somebody say, you got to figure out what's different about you and, you know, get it out there. And I think a lot of people often stumble over that whole idea. How important do you think that is versus some of the other stuff that you're talking about here?
What gets
the job done at the end of the day?
It's probably 80% of the game because the general thought process in people, and I've seen it 5 billion times, is, let me run it through it real quick. I want to be a consultant. I'm going to see what other consultants are doing. I'm going to mimic them. Then there's the roadblock. That's a very big problem because you're not congruent with your emotions, who you are, what you're about, and all that comes out in the video, in this, in that, and you're fake. And if you're dry and boring, you've got to find ways to somewhat make that either quirky or fun or unique. People can tell, I'm telling you, they can tell when you're fake. They can tell when you're a phony plastic banana. I mean, they can tell, man. So I think, just like I said, hey, man, think about your process. Think about building a body of work online where people can point to you and say, man, I know you create products. I know you do this. I know you've worked here. I know, like, you can't deny it. When you come to my website and look at testimonials or your website, and I only do this when I feel like it, and then you look at the stuff that I'm really doing in the real world, you can't deny it. If people can't deny you, it's so much easier to, quote-unquote, close them or work with them. Now, I think it is so important what you said as far as being who you are. It's just pure congruency.
Yeah.
And everything that you do, everything that you write, everything that you say on video, every article that you do, every press release you submit, every time you get on the phone, the way I'm talking to you right now, this is me. I'm excited about it. I love it. Could you imagine me trying to be somebody else on this call right now? You would know it's not me. It's not. The words that are coming out of my mouth are coming through my heart. And they are real, and I mean it, and I've lived it, and I've experienced it, which makes it even more real.
Yeah.
So the body of work helps with the congruency because you have confidence, because you've built that. You've done that. You know it's real. You've experienced it. It makes you a better salesman, even though I hate that word, but it makes you a better seller of what you do. But a lot of people, I can't tell you how many times, Jason, they they pick somebody out, and that's kind of the big word on the street, you know, mimic, find a mentor, da-da-da. And yes, that's important to a point, but nobody ever factors in the 147 other little things that go on in that person's life that makes them them, that stirs the pot that makes the risotto at the end of the day. You don't know all the experiences and ups and downs and little breaks and all that. So nothing is more important than being yourself, finding your groove, having your voice, and just committing to it, because it's going to help with everything else.
All right, here's a kind of a harder one. You're talking about congruency, authenticity, being who you are. I think we both agree, and you're living proof of this, that the easiest way to get clients is to absolutely not need them, right? So
that's a great way to put it, yeah.
How do you take that idea? I mean, you're in that position and you really don't need them. But like, how does somebody that at the end of the day, that's how they pay their bills, how does somebody still leverage that same concept, which is really a universal principle, even if they're 2 weeks away from the electric being turned off? Like, what do you do? How can you be real and give off that air without being fake, even though you actually do depend on client income to live?
Well, first things first, if I had to make the bills, I would be doing reactivation campaigns like a psycho person, meaning direct mail for sure, and pounding and pounding and pounding. I'm almost positive if you did that in the right manner, you're going to, you know, pull hopefully 5 or 10 grand out of the ground pretty quick. What I talked about before your question was the absolute foundation, step one, kindergarten, preschool, have to be done, got to be done, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This isn't something, unless you've been doing it wrong and you've been fake for years, that you develop later to get more of what you want. This is something you've got to do on day one, and it may take you a week or 2 weeks or 2 months to figure out who you really are on this earth, because that is a difficult question. Who am I? Where's my heart at? How do I act? You know, some people are so worried about how they're perceived and this and that. Okay, so we already know that. You've got to get down who you are, because it's going to affect the communication moving forward with the world. Now, as far as how that works for getting clients when I need money in a month, this is where you're not going to sell out on what I said earlier, but even I would do this, right? I would use the techniques that you teach, and you know what you teach. And I would ramp them up. What's the book you have that goes into that? I just forgot the title, because I think you changed it.
Boy, I'm trying to remember which book you're talking about.
It is literally like step-by-step how to get clients.
That I wrote?
Yeah, you wrote it.
That's funny.
No, you changed the title, I thought. What was that book you wrote?
Oh, How to Get Kick-Ass Clients. I mean, that's, it kind of walks you through some of that.
No, absolutely. What I'm saying, okay, so before 10 minutes ago, I was saying, do all this, attract. That's under the best conditions and scenarios, and that's what you want to be doing, even if you do need clients. That little spinning motion never stops. Remember that. I don't care how many clients you have, you still better be feeling the wheel, because those clients quit, die, get sick, hate you. It happens no matter how good your customer service is, no matter how good you are, they find a better person, they find a better deal, you never stop filling the hole with new clients. So what I said is applicable every minute of every day of every year. Never stop doing it. If I needed money in 2 to 3 weeks, what you're saying, when you're basically not pitching, is I would have to go into more pitch mode.
Yeah.
Do I want to? No. Well, we were talking about perfect conditions and how I've done it, but if I needed to, I would get off this phone call right now and go do more of what you talk about and how to get kick-ass clients.
Yeah.
Period, point blank. I'd be sending direct mail. I'd be doing exactly what – I'm not going to reveal what's in that, but I don't know who's read it or who's bought it. I don't want to kind of mess up your flow there, because it's definitely worth it. But that's the direction I would go. I would go into more pitch mode, and I wouldn't feel bad about it. I would make sure I had a good positioning plan on why I'm doing it. See, a lot of people do it, and they're like, I'm a grand a letter. I'm 5 grand a letter. I'm 10 grand a letter. I'm due royalties. Nobody really cares about that. What I would be mainly focusing on is the value I bring to the client, lessening their risk of dealing with me and closing the dang deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking to a friend.
I was talking to a friend
the other week that, I mean, this sounds really pessimistic, but I think it's, you would agree. The day you get the client is one day closer to the day that that client will no longer be your client.
No, that's the most realistic thing I've ever heard. I think your mindset has to be thinking that. You have to be not thinking about it, giving it a lot of play, but it should be a fact in your mind the day they sign the agreement. This could end at any moment, because you cannot care if it ends at any moment. And you better not care, because the moment you start caring, I'm talking about the agreement, the contract. See, you're always going to do what you got to do. You're always going to be a great service-based person. You're always going to fulfill your promises and do your best. See, that's all a given to me. I do that in my sleep. I give you everything. That is a given. So we don't got to sit here and prove that and feel bad about that or make sure. That's done. When you're at this level, it's done. So it's really, as you know, Jason, would you agree? It's on them. You're dealing with their dysfunctions. Which is normally huge, because
people are so brainwashed.
They're so brainwashed about how great their business is, which, as you and I know, we can get into that later. But that's kind of the game. But no, I would be. You're going to be basically whoring yourself out to an extent, but you can do it in a manner to where you still look cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and again, it's a short-term deal because you're doing what you have to do, which is not always the optimal situation. Okay, so let's take that same idea, the attractive force, the I don't need them kind of thing, and let's move into talking about money, which is huge. And when you're an independent professional, I think it's probably responsible for more screw-ups from a strategic point of view and more pain and frustration for you, the business owner, than just about any other topic there is. So tell me how you deal with clients with money, what you've learned over the years about what works and what doesn't, and maybe just some general principles that you try to keep in mind when you're talking about money with a client or prospective client.
Step number one, never care about the money. Like, seriously, never. You just can't care. It can't matter
to you.
Which
is really hard.
It's hard, but it's totally doable even if you're broke, because I've been broke. So it doesn't matter. And even when I was broke, I made sure to train myself that it still doesn't matter. Yeah. I'm going to do what I know is right, because you still have to deliver at the end of the day. And you're going to be one disgruntled service provider. You're doing everything against your will and against the way you know it should be. It'll make life hell the entire time you're working with them.
Yeah.
So what you need to do is set personal ground rules, and that'll be different for everybody on this call. You have to find your groove, what works for your life, what works for your situation. Me personally, I ask for 100% up front. You either believe me or you don't, that I'm going to deliver. Hopefully you'll look at my body of work, you'll see what I've done, you'll look at my testimonials, you'll talk to me on the phone, and you'll know I'm the real deal. If not, we just shouldn't work together. Absolutely no big deal. There's 4 billion other people on Earth. They'll be willing to do it. No problem, man. I'll talk to you later. That's the way I operate, because I've got to get paid regardless. And was it Gary Halbert who said that the moment they got their first dollar, the moment they got unattached and a little, it already got old with the agreement? Who was that?
I don't know, but I think that may have been me.
You may have, somebody else said it too, but the funny
I know
thing
I felt
about
that.
That's a very good thing you just said, because you do feel it. I felt it. I mean, the moment the money hits your bank account, the excitement decreases like 20%, and it just goes down from there. If you're one of those
enough.
Unique
individuals, it's never enough.
It's never enough. If you're one of those unique individuals that gets paid and your excitement rises and you can't wait or whatever, generally that lets you know you're somewhat of a beginner and you don't have enough under your belt, if you feel that way. And there's nothing wrong with that. You've got to go through that process. But you do get to a point that no matter what the dollar amount is, no matter what you can do, it becomes old hat. It's just money, little green things exchanging in bank accounts, and you still got to write that letter, perform that service, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. which is why you always want to charge higher prices. I know it's been beat to you over and over again, but you do want to get into a position where you feel comfortable asking for higher prices, and you do charge them. So when you're working on it, you don't hate yourself that bad. You know what I'm saying, Jason? Because you know the deal. We've talked extensively about that.
Well, and it really, in the end, is that, I mean, I'm speaking from my experience here, and, you know, I have challenges that a lot of people on the phone probably don't, and vice versa, but I know that when you put yourself in a position where the money is not right for you, and that resentment grows, it's really resentment for yourself, but you put it on the client,
yeah,
in the end, that's a real disservice to everybody. So
it really is.
To get this right and to get enough guts to really ask for the money that's going to keep that from happening to the best of your ability, and then it still requires, I mean, what Ricky's describing is emotional maturity.
Mm-hmm.
To not care about the money, even though the lights have been turned off, or whatever. That takes some real discipline, in my experience.
It does,
but
and
it's
we're
totally
not,
worth it.
And also, Jason, we're not neglecting that you need to actually have a plan, in my opinion. I'm not one of those guys that say, you know, just let it come, da-da-da. I'm more of the go-get-it type person. I know there's different personality types. But me, I'm more of a person where I do like to set a goal. Now, my whole life isn't bound by 4 million goals I've got to meet. I know people do like week-long goal-setting sessions at the first of the year. And I don't get into all that, but I do have a target that I'm aiming at every month.
Yeah.
Not in consulting, in my own business, but if I was consulting, I would have a for sure definite target because I would need to know if I'm winning or losing. And I would have a general pricing schedule, but that could also change once I got on the phone with them. I think it's critical we talk to our people on the phone versus just email so they can hear your heart, they can hear your knowledge,
yeah.
They can hear. It's very difficult. This is my opinion, I never want somebody on the end of a keyboard not knowing what emotional state they're in, reading what I wrote in black and white, and emotionally responding to that or thinking about what I meant to say. I think that's very dangerous. I think we've got to get them on the phone as soon as possible, because we can speak faster than we can type, and they can feel you, and they can really understand where you're coming from, because you can adjust tone, you can adjust speed, you can bring them down low, like I'm talking right now, if that's how they are. You may want to make them feel very secure in dealing with you, and that you've been doing this 100 million times. Or if they're very high end, we need to go ahead and be excited with them, and I want to take you there, and we can definitely do this. And I'll tell you what, I can be done in about 10 days, but it's going to take. So we got to, you see where I went with that direction. I have to get on the phone with them because we need to know where they're at in their life. And I've made more money doing that, and that's why I'm never scared to ask for the money all up front, which I do get hesitation sometimes from that. Somebody would lie. They would be lying if they said they didn't. I've had hesitation. And I've had some people just say they couldn't do business like that. But
yeah, exactly.
I personally think it's better. I think there's more of a commitment with them on the front end when they trust you enough to say, hey, here it is. I believe that you'll be done when you said you'll be done. Here's the money.
Yeah, you know,
I do
trust.
I'm done every time. I've never missed a deadline ever as long as I've been alive. So
sweet.
That's my problem.
So our time's running short, but I have one really important question that really goes to your uniqueness, which is kind of sad to say considering this, because it makes a comment on the state of humanity, but whatever. You have a conscience. Like, you actually care, right, about the person you're working with. And we're in a results business, right? So oftentimes it's easy to get tangled up in the boundary between where your accountability is to a client. You know, we've all been in situations where you do something and it doesn't work out and you feel bad. Can you talk about that? Like, what are you responsible for?
Well,
how do you
feel
that?
I'm married. I have 2 children. I grew up in a family of 5 children. I was the middle child, basically not a lot of money growing up, but did have, you know, love, divorced parents, drama. You know, it gave me probably a different perspective. I had to share everything. Never really had anything of my own. So I grew up, I'm the middle child. I'm the sensitive one. So I am at my heart, but probably like the most sensitive dude you'll ever meet. But as far as the client thing, it's very weird because I can so disconnect it because I know it's what's best for them. And I know that, and I've actually sat down with a pen and a pad and wrote out the benefits of feeling that way. Have you ever done that? You can't really write any. The way you feel if something doesn't work out. Here's what I think everybody on this phone call has to understand. is that results in this business are not, they're actually very rarely attached to the skill you bring. It's really difficult. Okay, so I can be writing for a client, and Jason, you could be writing for the same client, and we are writing about how to feed reptiles the correct way. And you could be a much better writer than me and vice versa, but maybe my headline connected in a way that doubled sales versus something you've did. But you're a better writer, right? I say that to say this. There's 70 million variables that go into something even being successful online, from traffic selection, organic, paid, banners, the 5 million ways traffic come into a site, their mindset, the offer being created, the checkout process, what happens after the checkout process, the design. And me and you are supposed to come in and be the savior of the entire operation and feel bad if it doesn't work out?
Yeah.
Who on earth is going to carry that burden? I know I'm not. I'm going to do what we promised, what I promised, what you promised. We're going to do what we promised and do the best of our ability. See, if you know you're doing that, if you know that you're just killing it as far as doing your best, you know you're skilled, you know you're a good marketer, you know you can take their current promotion and make it better. But guess what, Jason? I've taken promotions, and I know I've made them better. And guess what? The conversion rate didn't change. I look stupid. Yeah. They fired me. I've been fired. Have you been fired?
Sure.
Okay. Who's next?
Right.
That doesn't really matter to me. You know why? Because in my heart, I know I did my best. I did the best I could do. You have to learn how to leave it at that. Absolutely, completely, 100%. And then what I do is I do rewrites. That actually wasn't plural. I do a rewrite. And I'll come with a different angle. I think we owe that to our clients. I don't think you owe them a one-off. I think you owe to work with them and get on the phone and try to see what's wrong or look at analytics, see what that cold traffic, you know, really try to analyze it, and maybe you switch up the promotion. I do think we as consultants owe that to our client, just because one-offs in this day and age, especially in online marketing, good luck, man. It can be tough. A lot more failures than successes. You know what I mean?
Well, and what you're saying about being okay with doing your best, I mean, that's a life lesson, not just a business lesson. And it's really at the foundation of whether you go through this whole thing we're all in and feel fulfilled, or whether you feel like you never quite got a handle on it, and you spend your whole life chasing something.
Yeah, you make a good point, and let me finish with this. The people that I know do feel that way, and I've had them on the phone with me almost in tears sometimes. Those are the people that knew they didn't work hard. They knew they didn't read the books. They knew they didn't work with as many clients as they made the client perceive they worked with. They knew that they didn't really have any home runs or winners under their belt, and they put on a bit of fakeness to get to where they had to get for the project they probably weren't ready for. And that's where guilt comes from. But trust me, you can't have guilt. If you've been there, you've done that, you've tried your best, you did your best, you are skilled, you've read the books, you've been to the trenches, you've been blooded, you've cried, this is a process. If you haven't done all that, you probably don't have passion for consulting or direct marketing, period, point blank. If you haven't been through all those emotions I just named off, you're probably, I would imagine, you're still working a job and not really in the game.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I want to thank you for carving out some time here. I know you've got a busy filming schedule going on right now, so much appreciated. Why don't you I'm sure people will be curious about you, and you know, for everybody on the phone, Ricky, another thing that he brings to the table that we did not talk about is he's really a conversion master. So somebody that, I mean, he's got like thousands of customers, and the data in his head about what works and what doesn't online and in general in sales is pretty astounding. So give whatever websites you want people to, you know, if they want to just find out more about you.
Well, I mentioned a few earlier, which nobody on this call would be interested in. But my main website's rickybrooklyn.com. I think I blogged 6 months ago, so I'm on a good schedule.
Consistency, baby.
Yeah.
Once every 6 months.
Yeah, like I'm on a twice a year schedule. No, but I don't blog much. You can hit Ricky Brooklyn. I think I've got 20 or 30 posts on there. You can definitely check me out. And I know that you keep a good a set of customers and clients base, and I know everybody on this call is most likely 95% doers. So I just think it's cool talking to doers. I don't even do much of what we're doing right now. I'm pretty involved in my day-to-day operations in my business, but I do love this. And, of course, I appreciate you for being a great friend, man. I love everything you're doing, and you've been there for me numerous times, and I just want to thank you for that.
Yeah, right back at you. Very much. Thank you. All right, awesome call. See everybody next time. Have a good one. Bye-bye.